You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. On the phone with me is Scott Barry Kaufman, a PhD who does research into creativity and who, along with co-author Carolyn Gregoire, have just released their book, Wired to Create, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Creative Mind. Dr. Scott, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Oh, delighted to be here.
I want to begin by your partnership with Carolyn. This was an interesting story because this book actually grew out of a Huffington Post article she wrote with your help called 18 Things Highly Creative People Do Differently. And I remember reading that article. And when I saw her name and your name pop up again on this book, I knew there was something special here. But talk about that collaboration you had.
Well, yeah, she did a delightful job with that article for the Huffington Post. And she had interviewed me for that article, and I thought that she did such a wonderful job that I asked her if she wanted to turn this into a book, and she's like, yeah, heck yeah, and we got a contract pretty soon after. That's really the story.
and did that the article touch as many people as it did me in the way of trying to spark? Because there's so many people these days trying to tap into their creativity.
I hope so. It went viral. That article got like 5 million views in a week or so. And it does seem to tap into a general fundamental human drive to create and express our unique selves.
Well, there have been many attempts to look at creativity and the roots of creative people. What do you find that is different from approaches that have happened in the past? What do you think you and Carolyn have done that have brought it more to the masses?
Absolutely nothing. No, I'm joking.
Okay.
I do want to make clear that this is, our attempt to bring together the fine work of 50 years worth of creativity research. I mean, there are so many great creativity researchers that have done such work, and we talk about them in the book, from Frank Barron's early study on the great creative minds of the 60s and 70s to all sorts of great things. And we talk a lot about that, and we also talk about the more recent research that most people aren't aware of, and the latest neuroscience of creativity, and then the value of what we call the imagination brain network.
And you look at not 18, but just 10 things that highly creative people do differently. And we'll touch on some of those as it goes along. But how did you cut it from 18 down to 10? Did further research show you that it was a little bit too far flung the first time?
Well, once we started writing it, we realized that a lot of the stuff could be condensed and together into there was an overarching theme that covered more than one.
Now you found 10, but I know early creative people studies. There was one study that showed like four traits. They broke down the creativity process into just four traits, and we have learned since then it's a little more broad than that.
Yeah, it is. Creativity involves lots of traits and behaviors, and the whole creative process. You have to be very adaptable. If you only get stuck in one mode of thought, won't be able to get through the whole creative process. I mean, if you're just good at daydreaming, for instance, that can be conducive to creativity. But sometimes you need to be practical about it as well, and rational, and make the ideas tenable. And then sometimes you have to work on your self-promotion skills and make sure that you make it clear to the world why that idea is good. I guess that's not self-promotion, that's idea promotion, and make it good to the world. People don't really like self-promotion too much. That sounds narcissistic, but you know what I mean?
I do. I'm speaking with Dr. Scott Barry Kaufman, who has written, along with Carolyn Gregoire, the book called Wired to Create, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Creative Mind, and looking at 10 characteristics of creative minds. And a lot of people these days, Scott, have been trying to burrow into their creativity. And as I was reading your book, I realized that it's kind of difficult because there are so many forces that are pushing and pulling in so many different directions, because most of these characteristics are very paradoxical, as I see more than once in the book. Talk about those paradoxes and what it means to creativity.
That's a terrific point. There are a lot of paradoxes in the sense that creative people are get more intimate with themselves and are able to even the the dark side of themselves as well as the light side. And by doing so, they're getting in touch with a larger humanity. I think Abraham Maslow, one of my my idols, said once, the more I understand myself in order to understand humans, and creative people are very good at bringing all these we are by nature contradictory, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Don't fight it, that it's part of our evolutionary heritage. We have older instincts and drives, and then we have higher level drives built on top of those lower level drives. And, we're constantly being pulled in lots of different directions. And, I want that sugary thing. I want to look good for so I can get a date. Even that's a contradiction, right? There are all these contradictions. And instead of fighting it, creative people tap into that inner core of humanity, and then and talk about that experiences for everyone to resonate with. And if it's really good, like Shakespeare was with his tragedies, even future generations will be talking about it.
The first section in of the 10 that you highlight in the book is imaginative play, and I have to say, as I was reading that chapter, that I kind of got the feeling, well, I did play, but did I not play enough when I was a kid? How do you, translate what you maybe should have been doing as a child into creativity as an adult?
Never too late, my friend. Never too late. We can play right now. There's no moment. Well, you shouldn't play at a funeral, probably, but they're contextual things. But you should understand as an adult that we can play. We see possibilities in any situation. There are fields that people say they're not creative fields, and there are fields people say those are creative fields. But really, you can have really horribly uncreative people in so-called creative fields. You can have uncreative artists, and you can have a writer. I don't want to start stereotyping people now, so I won't give any more specific examples. But we can really find these opportunities to be imaginative. I refer to imaginative play in this book. That's what I'm focusing on more. I'm not necessarily talking about rough and tumble play.
Now, you are the scientific director of the Imagination Institute and the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania. And I want to ask you from an academic standpoint how you quantify creativity, because in the book you say we are all in some way wired for creativity. And we, I guess as it's like pornography. You recognize it when you see it. Is
yes.
That the case with creativity?
Well, I don't think it's as clear cut as pornography. I think that you have, there's more objective metrics, even though it is somewhat subjective pornography. But with creativity, there are people that we put in mental institutions who may be coming up with seemingly crazy ideas that would actually be really extraordinarily creative if we allowed them to flesh them out a bit more. So I think creativity is it's a very personal thing. It does get judged by others eventually, and in order to make the history books, it needs to be judged. But creativity is a way of being and interacting with and relating to the world, and that's a very personal thing.
You talk in the in your book Wired to Create about how there is the perception that artists or creative people have to suffer somehow for their art or their creativity. And that to some degree is actually true, because turning adversity into advantage is one sign of a creative mind, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. The Buddha said that we live a joy of 10,000 joys, 10,000 sorrows, all of us. We can't escape it. It's part of the human condition. Creative people, while mental illness is not neither necessary nor sufficient for creativity, creative people are very good at taking the things that have caused them great suffering and using that as good fodder for their art. They learn and grow from it, is my point.
I'm speaking with Scott Barry Kaufman, who, along with Carolyn Gregoire, are the authors of Wired to Create, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Creative Mind, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I was somewhat encouraged at times reading this, Scott, but like with the imaginative play, what I was saying about, well, did I not have enough imaginative play as a child? But in looking at this, what is the biggest obstacle people face when it comes to coming to terms with their own creativity? Out of all these 10 characteristics, what is the hardest for folks to overcome?
It depends on what you're aiming for. There, creativity can range from the everyday creativity inherent in living life, right? Like just a way of being, the creative lifestyle, which we talk a lot about in the book. And an obstacle there may be your own self. You may be getting in your own way. You may, because of your insecurities, your fears, your anxieties. You know, a big thing about living a creative life is taking sensible risks and going towards that which you fear, things like that. And those could be serious obstacles there. Once you get up to what's called big C creativity, like at the genius level, well, there are a lot of obstacles there. And that just might be talent as well. Like maybe, let's be realistic. You know, like not everyone, there's a reason why genius, you know, is genius. If everyone was a genius, then that word would have no meaning, right? So at the high level, but I do see a great continuity between, and that's the point we want to make in the book, between the everyday creative processes and way of being in the world and that big C creativity. Big C creators adopt these same things. So I think it's a matter of degree, not necessarily kind.
Well, I just read a book by Daniel Levitin about information overload and trying to think clearly in this age of
Levitin.
Yeah. It got me thinking as I was reading your book. How does this information overload affect our abilities to be creative? I know you don't cover it in the book, but I thought I'd throw that curveball at you to just ask, because it seems with all these distractions, you don't have that time for the daydreaming or the mindfulness for many people.
Yeah, it's a good question. I get it asked a lot, actually. That and the drugs question are the two big ones I get asked a lot, interestingly enough. I think that with all that stuff, it depends. It's very contextual. It depends on whether or not the technology is amplifying your creativity. Is it a way of amplifying it, or is it a way of getting you farther and farther away from yourself and getting you farther away from blocking you from the reaping the benefits of solitude and daydreaming, which we talk about a lot in the book. So we do talk about that indirectly. So it really depends on the nature of the technology.
Okay, so I missed the question about the drugs. What about the drugs? Do drugs enhance creativity? Is that the question? Is that what it is?
Everybody asks me, like, that's like the number one question, like, what's the link between drugs and creativity? And I find that fascinating that that's like such a commonly asked question. I think people want a quick fix, because the number two question is, what's the relationship between procrastination and creativity?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That's not, well, I can see where it could be related to drugs when it comes to, you know, issues, some of the weaknesses when it comes to creative people as well. We have all these paradoxes. You have strengths, but you have weaknesses as well. And
yeah,
sometimes that
absolutely
might be part of it.
Maybe. I mean, I can give you the research answer is LSD does increase openness to experience, which is the number one personality predictor of creativity, but it's not going to directly improve your creativity unless you also put in some of that hard work.
Well, in just general, before we have to go here, Scott, I want to ask, you know, sure, through your work at the University of Pennsylvania and through your writing of this book and the like, what you feel is the state of creativity in this day and age?
You know, in the world?
In the world, in whatever context you'd like to put it.
Wonderful. Well, I think we have a bias against creativity in our society. We see it in standardized tests. We see it in school. We see it really young that we're being taught that we shouldn't question assumptions. We shouldn't try to develop our own unique identity. And then we get in as adults in our work setting, we're taught it not to play, that it's all about efficiency. I want people at the end of the day to appreciate that it's okay to have a messy mind. It's okay to fail. It's okay to do a lot of trial and error and to have these creative habits.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for all your research, too, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Love the conversation.
Dr. Scott Barry Kaufman, the Scientific Director of the Imagination Institute and the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania, and author with Carolyn Gregoire of the book Wired to Create, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Creative Mind. You can learn more about the book and Scott's work at our website, wpxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.